Chapter 41. Oh, pray don't mind him, apostrophe said Mrs. Poet, in the most obliging voice. You give yourself a great deal of unnecessary trouble, Mrs. Hunter. You'll do very well there, won't you, dear? Apostrophe, certainly, love, apostrophe replied the unhappy poet, with a grim smile. Alas for the knout! The nervous arm that wielded it, with such a gigantic force on public characters, was paralyzed beneath the glance of the imperious Mrs. Poet. Mrs. Leo Hunter looked round her in triumph. Count Smorlturk was busily engaged in taking notes of the contents of the dishes. Mr. Tupman was doing the honors of the lobster salad to several lionesses, with a degree of grace which no brigand ever exhibited before. Mr. Snodgrass, having cut out the young gentleman who cut up the books for the Atansville Gazette, was engaged in an impassioned argument with the young lady who did the poetry, and Mr. Pickwick was making himself universally agreeable. Nothing seemed wanting to render the select circle complete, when Mr. Leo Hunter, whose department on these occasions was to stand about in doorways and talk to the less important people, suddenly called out, "My dear, here's Mr. Charles Fitzmarshall." Apostrophe, oh dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Leo Hunter, how anxiously I have been expecting him. Pray make room to let Mr. Fitzmarshall pass. Tell Mr. Fitzmarshall, my dear, to come up to me directly, to be scolded for coming so late. Apostrophe, coming, my dear ma'am, apostrophe cried a voice, as quick as I can, crowds of people, full room, hard work, very. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick's knife and fork fell from his hand. He stared across the table at Mr. Tupman, who had dropped his knife and fork, and was looking as if he were about to sink into the ground without further notice. Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe cried the voice, as its owner pushed his way among the last 25 Turks, officers, cavaliers, and Charles II's that remained between him and the table. Regular Mangle Baker's patent, not a crease in my coat, after all this squeezing might have got up my linen as I came along, ha, ha. Not a bad idea, that queer thing to have it mangled when it's upon one, though trying process very. Apostrophe, with these broken words, a young man dressed as a naval officer made his way up to the table, and presented to the astonished Pickwickians the identical form and features of Mr. Alfred Jingle. The offender had barely time to take Mrs. Leo Hunter's proffered hand, when his eyes encountered the indignant orbs of Mr. Pickwick. Hollo! Apostrophe, apostrophe said Jingle. Quite forgot no directions to postillion, give 'em at once back in a minute. Apostrophe, the servant, or Mr. Hunter will do it in a moment. Mr. Fitzmarshall, apostrophe said Mrs. Leo Hunter. No, no, I'll do it, shan't be long back in no time, apostrophe replied Jingle. With these words he disappeared among the crowd. Will you allow me to ask you, ma'am, apostrophe said the excited Mr. Pickwick, rising from his seat, who that young man is, and where he resides? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he is a gentleman of fortune, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe said Mrs. Leo Hunter, to whom I very much want to introduce you. The Count will be delighted with him. Apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick hastily. His residence, apostrophe, is at present at the Angel at Bury. Apostrophe, at Bury? Apostrophe, apostrophe, at Bury St. Edmunds, not many miles from here. But dear me, Mr. Pickwick, you are not going to leave us. Surely, Mr. Pickwick, you cannot think of going so soon? Apostrophe, apostrophe, but long before Mrs. Leo Hunter had finished speaking, Mr. Pickwick had plunged through the throng, and reached the garden, whither he was shortly afterwards joined by Mr. Tupman, who had followed his friend closely. It's of no use, apostrophe said Mr. Tupman. He has gone. Apostrophe, I know it, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, and I will follow him. Apostrophe, follow him. Where? Apostrophe inquired Mr. Tupman. To the Angel at Bury, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, speaking very quickly. How do we know whom he is deceiving there? He deceived a worthy man once, and we were the innocent cause. He shall not do it again, if I can help it. I'll expose him. Sam. Where's my servant? Here you are, sir, said Mr. Weller, emerging from a sequestered spot, where he had been engaged in discussing a bottle of Madeira, which he had abstracted from the breakfast table an hour or two before. Here's your servant, sir. Proud o' the title, as the living skeleton said. Then they showed him. Follow me instantly, said Mr. Pickwick. Tubman, if I stay at Barry, you can join me there when I write. Till then, goodbye. Remonstrances were useless. Mr. Pickwick was roused, and his mind was made up. Mr. Tubman returned to his companions, and in another hour had drowned all present recollection of Mr. Alfred Jingle, or Mr. Charles Fitzmarshall, in an exhilarating quadrille and a bottle of champagne. By that time, Mr. Pickwick and Sam Weller, perched on the outside of a stagecoach, were every succeeding minute placing a less and less distance between themselves and the good old town of Bury St. Edmunds. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.